You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party's Carmel Cipollone.
Today is Budget Day, the day the government releases their spending plans for the next year. The embargo on the budget lifts at 2pm, however there have already been several pre-budget spending announcements. These include boosts in funding for defence, urgent care and school attendance initiatives. Earlier this week, the debate on the Privileges Committee report into the Treaty Principles Haka, led by Te Pāti Māori, was deferred. The report recommended the suspension of co-leaders Rawiri Waititi and Debbie Ngāre Wapaka for 3 weeks and MP Hana Rāwhiti Maipi Clark for 1 week. Opposition MPs have raised concerns that because the debate has been deferred, the Te Pāti Māori co-leaders may not be back in time to vote on the budget. For our weekly catch-up with Labour's Carmel Cipollone, I asked about all of these topics. I started by asking what she expected to be announced in today's budget, particularly in the vein of growth.
Well, I think whatever they do today, they'll try to spin it as growth, but I'm not confident that will be the case. They really need to do three things in Budget 2025 if it's genuinely going to turn things around for New Zealanders. Firstly, they need to properly fund our frontline public services. Secondly, they need to provide a credible answer to how the government's going to fund all of its promises, and that should not be at the expense of working women. And thirdly, they need to show that they have a plan to invest in our future, to rebuild our ageing school, hospitals, public homes and infrastructure, to create jobs, upskill our workers and raise wages and living standards.
What do the constituents you represent want to see in today's budget?
It is very clear in my electorate and for the people that I got into Parliament to represent. The biggest challenge is the cost of living, but there are other associated challenges with that. It is the cost of housing, it is the cost of healthcare. It is the fact that so many people, particularly in Auckland, have lost jobs because of the state of the economy. And so it all goes back to cost of living, but there are surrounding challenges that can't be ignored.
So far, the big pre-budget announcements have been on defence, school attendance and urgent care. What do you make of these initiatives?
Well, they don't reflect the real need that we're seeing out there. I mean, health, sure, you know, there's something in that, but that's urgent care. What about primary care? You'd much rather that people were getting access to the primary care health services and not having to go in after hours to seek out after hours care or urgent care. And so I certainly don't think that the pre-budget announcements reflect what the constituents I represent are wanting most.
How concerned are you about what the government will have to cut to fund its budget?
Well, we're mostly concerned that National is cutting women's pay to balance their budget. And budgets are a choice. You know, build for the future or cut. National is cutting and women are paying. You know, National has found hundreds of millions of dollars for tobacco companies, and they've found $2.9 billion for tax breaks for landlords, and they paid for tax cuts that were unaffordable, and they're taking it from women's back pockets.
The Greens released their own alternative budget. Hipkins says it's unrealistic but is willing to support some of its ideas. What ideas are these, and what about their budget is unrealistic?
Look, I think, you know, just at a high level, often the Greens are known for putting all of what they would want to see on the table. And they aren't, because they're never the political party in government that have responsibility for balancing the books, then they probably don't need to turn their mind to that fiscal responsibility and affordability to the same extent that a political party like National does. And so there, of course, would be some consideration for what the Greens put forward, but they're never, ever going to get the full extent of their budget because there simply just is not enough money to go around. Also, it's about shared priorities and making sure that we're prioritising those things that are of, you know, of importance to both political parties if you're in a position where you're in coalition.
Do you think that the suspensions handed out to Te Pāti Māori were reasonable?
Not at all. I think that Chris Hipkins did a great speech in the House on this the other day. There is no precedent for what's being given out here in terms of the punishment and the extent of time that they are expected to be suspended. It is mean-spirited by the government, and they just simply are not following what rules have been set in the past. No one is saying that what Te Pāti Māori did is exactly within the rules. And in fact, Chris Hipkins has been really clear that there's a level of punishment that is required. I hate using that word, but in terms of the period of time that they might be suspended, 1 to 2 days, not 3 weeks. This is ridiculous, and we simply could not support what they were saying.
Was it right for the government to have suspended debate on the suspensions until after Budget Day?
It's very interesting as to why this went on. That is the question. Why did they make the decision to suspend? There seems to be some internal murmurings there. I'm not sure if they entirely agreed with Luxon coming out and saying that he wasn't taking it to caucus, that it was his decision and this is how it's going to be. So how that decision came about in the first place is interesting to contemplate. But secondly, there's still the potential that they're going to lock the Te Pāti Māori out from being able to vote against the budget, because we have quite a fulsome debate after the budget is introduced to the House that goes on for a period of weeks. And so at what point will the three members from Te Pāti Māori be back? Will they be able to vote for or against the budget? I mean, there are real democratic issues here when you take out half of a party's members around a time when quite a crucial vote has to be cast.
Ex-MP Palmjeet Palmer requested advice on imprisonment for the MPs. Is that at all appropriate?
Completely inappropriate. Palmjeet Palmer is inappropriate. The lengths that woman will go to and the level of conservatism and also just, you know, her general attitude towards Māori, I have to say, is highly disconcerting. And this particular, thing that she was pushing for is recognition of that.
In general, should tikanga be considered more seriously by the House?
I think that there's a discussion to be had here. And I think it was actually the National Party or Shane Jones or someone that put up that there should be a discussion around tikanga and that Adrian Ludafi would be a good person to lead it. He has been the speaker before. There should be a discussion about what it looks like in the House so that there's some clarity around that.
That was Labour's Carmel Cipollone on Budget Day 2025 and the suspensions of Te Pāti Māori MPs over the Treaty Principles Bill Haka.
That was our weekly chat with the Labour Party. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.